Hi everyone, welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 39 for June 19th, 2018. Today we will be discussing your trade ideas, and over the last few days about 40 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I've put together the list, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research, and I developed this show with Dean Jenkins of Follow Me Trades, and he is here to moderate today, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
All right. Hey, thanks, David. It is good to be back on the Analyze Your Trade show, and you know, we're coming up on a one-year anniversary on the show in a few months. It's been a lot of fun, but it's good to be here today. We got two other panelists, expert traders, and I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves. But when you do, you know, talk for just a few minutes about, you know, what your service is, your approach to the markets. But also tell us what city you're sitting in right now, what the temperature is, just for fun. And we'll go ahead and lead off with Jim.
Well, I provide the content over at optionprofessor.com. They got 7 option DVDs going through the basics, intermediate, and advanced strategies. And the strategies are pretty comprehensive as far as cash flow creating strategies, where you get a net credit on the trade. And basically other strategies such as hedging, using collars and married puts to try to protect some equity from time to time. And then finally, of course, leverage, limited risk leverage trading with calls and puts and rolling them up and down, and different two-sided trades like strangles, straddles, and calendar spreads and ratio spreads and all kinds of stuff you can learn. And I put the DVDs together for them, and that's what they bring to the table. I'm here in the desert of Nevada, and we're smoking along here, I think. I don't go outside much, but I heard it's about 107 out there, and of course, that's why we're inside on the AC.
107, that's hot! That's hot. So, Mike, quick few words about you know, what you got going on, your approach to the markets, and where you're calling in from, and what's the temperature?
Hey, Dean, thanks for having me on again, David. Appreciate being on. Jim, nice being with you as well. My name is Mike Fazzani. I own a small company called SmartOptionTrading.com. What I do there is I provide the option flow all throughout the day on a private Twitter feed every morning. You can come in here and see it. I do a morning setups video that goes out before around 8 o'clock in the morning, talking about what the market looks like going to that day and what some names I like and we should be looking for, either long or short, depending upon the day. I do the same thing at night. I do a recap video at night. And then I do a weekly mentoring webinar every night, Thursday at 6. This is where we're teaching people how to trade. If you have questions, you don't know about things that are going on, you want to learn a little bit, we go through that for all our subscribers. In addition to that, you can find me over in Alpha Shark for about an hour and a half, 2 hours a day, where I do some moderating there and help them out with the option flow there as well. My approach is real simple. I like to use the option flow and technical setups to get into things. Last couple of days, I've been a scalp trader, trading common off option flow. But when the market's humming, I like to swing. And I'm currently in Somerville, New Jersey, where it is a gorgeous 88 degrees and humidity is dropping rapidly.
All right. Very good. Good to have you here again, Mike. Look forward to your comments on some of the trades here. So I'm Dean Jenkins, founder of FollowMeTrades.com. I run a stock advisory service, trading room in the mornings for an hour and a half, and I have a variety of training programs as well. I focus on a little bit longer term trades on daily charts, 4 to 6 weeks. Look for the trade setups on the underlying stock charts, then take the trade with the best option play that we can find. And I am located in Olympia, Washington, just about an hour south of Seattle, and it is 83 degrees outside right now at 1:30 p.m. And this is exactly the kind of day we live in the Pacific Northwest for. That's why we put up with a drizzly winter, to have a beautiful early summer like this.
Now tell me if I'm wrong, you guys are heading into a drought. You've had very little rain for the last 3 or 4 months, which is very unusual.
No, it's average. It's average.
Average. Okay. My friend lives on Bainbridge.
I just saw a headline that said, of all the states in the union affected by climate change, Washington has been affected the least. So temperature increase here is not hit yet, whatever that means. You know, Jim and Mike were talking about baseball while we were waiting for the show to start here. I live in Mariners country, but I'm not a huge baseball fan. I'll go once a year and spend $12 for a hot dog and a beer. But I don't follow it. So the Mariners must not be doing well because they're not in the headlines. And that's the key indicator. If they're on fire, then I would see it. But let's jump into the trading. And first up here, we've got a good list. I'm excited about the list because there's a lot of symbols that we haven't seen before. And I'm always excited to go look at something new and see if there's the next home run, to use a baseball analogy, coming up here. First up is ERF, and we're going to have top of the order. Jim, go ahead and take it away.
All right. Well, this stock is in the oil extraction business, and it is trading right at 1153. Looking at the technical picture on it, it's got a 50-day and 200-day moving average that is constructive. 50-day average is at 12, and the 200-day is at 1048, and I would assume it seems like it's a rising moving average on the 200-day. So the technicals on it are not bad. Like most things in the oil, oil backed off from 73 down to 64 area, and so this thing has backed off from its 52-week high of 13.5, and it lost a couple of bucks down to 11.5. Does it look like the party's over on it? It doesn't look like the party's over on it. There's support in the oil market between 55 and 60 that looks like it would hold. And there is an OPEC thing going on Friday, I guess. And there's varying reports on what they're going to do. You know, obviously down towards 1050, it would be a pretty interesting spot. $10 even, because that was the former highs in all of 2017. $10 even should be solid support. So anywhere between 10 and 10.50 would be what I would consider the worst case scenario that I'd put up with if I owned it. And if I was looking to get in, anywhere between 10 and 10.50 or 10 and even 11 might not be a bad time. So basically, I'm constructive on it, but I would probably wait for a little bit more weakness to get into it at this point.
That's funny. You said on Friday, OPEC's going to decide what they're going to do. I remember a couple months ago, the Saudi oil minister was being interviewed and talking about OPEC. And he said, you know, we all make all these agreements and then we all go home and cheat. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to cheat.
Yeah, that's about the size of it, man.
All right. Hey, Mike, what do you think here about ERF?
You know, actually, the funny thing is they really haven't cheated this time on the for the first time. They've actually been pretty good with keeping to their decision to keep a limit on production. But yeah, for me, I've been telling everybody, if you're going to play an oil name between now and Friday, you scalp it for a couple pennies and you get out, because we really don't know what to expect there. There's a lot of talk going around. I guess Saudi's trying to do 300,000 to 600,000 barrels. But back to this guy. So first off, this is a weekly chart. Look at this head and shoulders pattern you have here on this name, right? You got this big head and shoulder pattern. So on a weekly chart, if this thing breaks out of this area and really gets going, you know, size of the move is from the bottom to the neckline. I put the network 9 at 10 from, $2? So this thing is going to pop to a new, you know, back up to the all-time highs up towards this 20 area if this thing starts to go. But on a daily chart, right, I think Jim nailed it, you know. The 100-day is a good place, and if it holds here, it'd be a great trade to come back up if they actually do keep oil numbers tight. But if they increase production and oil comes down, I don't think there's a lot to be had here on these names. So I'm waiting till Friday, and then if it holds here, then I would try it long.
And well, I'm just going to add one thing. Another alternative to this might be Apache Oil. Apache Corp, I mean. They're in the same kind of business, oil extraction, but it does look like it might be a more solid outfit.
They have a buyout rumor on them that's holding them up.
Right.
All right. I should be showing a chart here on ERF. And in my analysis, I use a very simple form of a Elliott wave. I just count impulsive moves, corrections, and then continuations of the original trend. And I use Ichimoku Cloud for confirmation, and I got the 200-day moving average as a support or resistance area as well. So I'm looking at this, and you can see it's been in a, you know, pretty long uptrend. Everybody's talked about that. It's pulled back, and notice how just now we can, you know, drill in on it a little bit. Why not drill in with an oil extraction company, right? You notice from the all-time high here, the recent high, a low down to the cloud, a lower high, and then a break down through the cloud. That's a confirmation of a short-term trend change, and the fact that it broke the Ichimoku cloud, which is projecting support, that has meaning. So, you know, the uptrend is still, the big moves are still going on, but this thing looks like it could actually drop somewhere down to the 200. That's a, you know, from 1153 down to 1049. Yeah, you get a 10% move on that potentially. And look how it's found support at the 200 pretty regularly through this uptrend. So there might be a short-term quick short on this thing. You know, not a super high probability trade, but that's where it's at. And then, you know, once it finds support, probably on the new highs from there is my take on it.
Yeah, well, I was going to add one thing, Dean, on the price of oil. When it went up towards that 73 area, you know, the former lows in 2012 and around 2014 was in that 75 ballpark area. So there might have been a reason why we went up to that neighborhood and rolled over. And maybe there's a little bit more, you know, back and forth or weakness to be had.
Yeah, I'm actually tracking oil as well. I think we got a little bit more correction and then on to new highs, you know, above the 73 level, but it hasn't turned yet. It's still in the correction. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, we gave full measure to Interplus Corp. And I don't think any of us, that was on our radar screen before. And we all offered some guidance. It's not like any of us are, you know, teeing up orders for it, but offered our guidance on it. Let's go take a look at MGM, Lion. What we got going on MGM here, Jim? What do you think?
Well, it's trading on the defensive right now, but I think it's coming into some reasonable support right around this neighborhood. On the good news is, you know, we got unemployment at 3.8%, and everyone's got a little bit more money in their paycheck, and going to do gaming and come to America's Playground seems to be, you know, not losing its popularity. And these guys are supposed to benefit from this everybody can gamble on sports thing because they've got good distribution throughout the country with properties that they own. Having said all that, momentum-wise, it looks kind of not good. And so the 50-day average is at 32.5 ballpark and the 200 days at 33.30 ballpark. And so before it would get above those numbers, I probably would be standing aside and finding out if there's something we don't know, because it is down, you know, this 30 area was the former lows last year, and it was a high point at the end of 2016. So this 30 area ballpark should be some support. If it broke through here, there's probably a story we don't know about that's going to come out. And again, momentum is not a terrible thing to be associated with. So if we did start getting above 33, 32.5, 33, and into that area, you know, maybe this thing could go someplace. But it does seem to be a fairly unexciting stock between, you know, 30 and 35. And, you know, I don't know exactly how interested I'd be in this this thing.
All right. You all in on MGM there, Mike? You want to put a black chip on the black and let it ride?
I actually have two August 33 calls that are sucking you know what right now. I had a lot more. I traded out most of them when we came up and we touched that gap. And then I bought some back a little lower. I think what's going on here today, Jim, is their fear over China screwing Macau as
I
part
think
of
so.
Retaliation
I think you're right.
Against us. And massive put buying on LVS today like we haven't seen in forever came into it. Some in MGM as well. So for me, I thought about blowing out of this today. You're right. If you look on a weekly chart, there is some support right down just a little below here, right? Just about to it. Be a nice place if it would hold there, that 29 area. But that was some distribution volume today. Obviously, the big gap down was earnings. Right now, there's a worry in the casinos. Now, you know, this thing could turn on a dime. I mean, point blank, if both sides would start talking to each other instead of threatening each other through the media with tariffs that, by the way, have not even been implemented yet on either side, I'm assuming these names would go back up and head up nicely here. But you can try it on support, but I'd be very careful with these names right now. They're obviously worried that China's going to retaliate against the casinos.
And they said China's running out of retaliation cards because they can't put tariffs on an amount that doesn't even come into the country. So, in other words, I think it's like $130 billion of our stuff goes over there. And we're already at 200 billion plus whatever else he's talked about. So they can't compete on tariff end. So now they're talking about delaying applications and other kind of what they call qualitative things. But the quickest way to hit these, you know, these casinos, you know, obviously that's what the bet is. They're saying that could be a card they'll play because they've run out of other cards.
Or they could really try to hamstring Apple, right? Apple has his huge supply chains in China. Plus, they three phones for every one in the United States are sold in Apple. But that would be hurting their people too. I don't think they'd want to shut down Apple sales. So they are in a little bit of a hard spot when it comes to some of that stuff.
So I got a chart here on MGM. The only thing that Hillary Clinton ever said that made sense to me was, how do you lose money running a casino? That's funny. You know, in terms of technical analysis on the MGM chart here, it's in a correction. No surprise, right? It's an Elliott wave 4, right? Here's the big move up, up to 38. And then we're in a correction. We got lower lows, lower highs. We broke down through the cloud. We broke down through the 200. We're putting in new lows, but we're in the Fibonacci retracement zone expected for a wave 4 correction, these two blue lines here. So we've entered it, and you can see down here my momentum indicator is running out of momentum. So I think this may be pretty close to the end of the correction, and hopefully, Mike, it heads back up and you get mid hole on that. It looks like it's running out. So I would not try to go short here, but it would be too early for me to try and take that thing long, just based on technical analysis. All right, next up is one of my favorites because I'm in this trade and I'll talk about it, is CGC, Canopy Growth. It's a cannabis stock in Canada. So, Jim, you lighten up?
Yeah. Hey, listen, that's the way to go as far as what people are saying. You know, this industry is growing, and they say the valuations on these things are very high, but, you know, if you want to be in the space, this is one of the names that people are definitely putting into a portfolio of risk. In other words, you know, this is one of maybe five or six that I've heard people trying to put a little bit of a portfolio of these things together. You can see by the prices here, you know, we're up at 32.05. It was up 4% today on the kind of day we had. So obviously talking about blinders to what's going on in the world. And again, there's the talk about Canada, allowing pot to be used in many different ways. And in Nevada, it's legal. Not that I'm involved in it, but I do understand it is legal. And so this is something that is unfolding. Now, why would I be a little nervous about just jumping in at any price? Is, you know, the price is currently at 32 and the 200-day average is at 20. So you're better than 50% above the 200-day. Obviously, normally that would be considered a very, you know, extended time to start participating. And of course, it has not taken out the high that it had at around 35. So you're up near the high, you're 50% or better above the 200-day average. So if somebody asked me, do you want to get in right now, I probably wouldn't do it. But that doesn't mean it's not a good idea. And certainly the momentum's to the upside, and it's got about 8% short interest, which means some people that are betting against it may still get blown out, or people that are hedged may take off their hedges. And so it's a good-looking industry, and it's a good-looking chart, but just right this second, it's a little bit extended as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Mike, what do you think here about Canopy?
I like this chart. I have to admit, I really like this chart. This thing behaves well. Look how it goes up and then it flags. It gives you, you know, it pulls back, gives a little flag, and then it goes again. And we've been seeing that all the way up through this. You know, yeah, look at the volume today. Huge volume in this name today. Yeah, it didn't quite take out this little range. But boy, does it look like it wants to try to run up back to that all-time high of 36 here. Jim says he wouldn't go long it here. I would take this thing on a breakout.
I would, if you take a gamble, if you wanted to roll dice, this is definitely something that could blow out and go to 40 or 50 for all you know.
I would take a shot on this on a breakout move here, and I don't usually like to grab things until they break out, but I would take a shot here on this, especially if you get a dip to the 8-day, which has been holding beautifully. I would definitely take a shot on this thing. I like this stock. I like this a lot. This is a nice setup. Nice volume too. Not a low volume float stock. Look at the volume the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I didn't notice the volume. With that kind of volume, you certainly wouldn't step in front of it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? I like it as well to the extent that I'm in it. This is a trade that I called in my advisory service. We got in about 2 weeks ago at 29.74. That's the blue line on my chart here. The red line here is my current stop, 26.69. And I've got a target. And it's just a simple Elliott wave three, right? Here's wave one, here's two, here's three. Couldn't be any clearer. Big impulsive move. Here's the correction into the Fibonacci zone. Now we're looking for an extension up into this Fibonacci extension zone, 38 to about 50. And we're just going to let this baby run, keep trailing our stop, take a little profit along the way, and watch it go up in smoke, as Cheech and Chong would say. You know, Jim, you know, cannabis is legal here in Washington State as well. And it's still shocking to drive around and see billboards and stores, right, selling marijuana. That's, you know, for most of our lives, it was illegal and under the table. And,
so are you two providing pot services through your stuff here? Am I the only one that's not?
Well, Jersey will get to it. It took a while to get the gambling for sports legal, so the pot's probably to follow. But the funny thing is, I heard mostly about something about this in town at the fitness center. So it just goes to show you can get information on stuff in very strange environments. The fitness center and the canopy stock all in one day, you know?
Yeah, and this is one of those things, you know, you always hear kind of a joke, right? In a recession and hard times, right? You know, what sells well, you know, gambling, liquor, and now probably cannabis, right? Or recession proof, right?
Aren't they talking about some of the big beverage companies, Constellation Brands and other ones that might be entering into this thing? And they could come in here with their dollar figures and start, you know, picking up all these companies, although the market cap on this is $6 billion, so we're not talking about no money here.
Cannabis juice?
Well, I just say, you know, just as an alternative stimulant or whatever, you know, because they're already in the spirit business, and I guess this would be part of the spirit business.
Interesting. This is a Canadian company, and they're doing really well, and you know, they got a huge market cap. The U.S. companies are still struggling because, you know, still against the law at the federal level. And so they really have trouble with banking. All the cannabis stores here, you got an ATM machine in the store. So I hear. And you got to pay cash. You can't use credit cards and stuff. They actually can't have bank accounts, right? It's an all cash business, which is really restrictive. But Canada, I think, is going to be doing it different. They're legalizing it at a national level. But this is a great looking chart nonetheless. Next up is BX. I never heard of it that I know of.
Blackstone Group? Never heard of Blackstone?
Yeah. Now that I got it up. Okay. Jim?
Yeah, hang on. I was a little bit on a different thing here. Okay, Blackstone right now around 32.73 and basically, the 52-week high is 37, low is about 29.5. So it's on the defensive, similar to the other finance companies, really. If you notice, everyone who loaded up on banking stocks earlier this year because they were going to be this fabulous investment, I think they're finding out that that's not exactly the way it's panning out so far. Now, it did come down to a big support at $30. So I would say that that's your line in the sand. If you're in this stock and you want to be long, that's your line in the sand. The 200-day and the 50-day are right around the $32 area, $33 area. So we're in the same neighborhood. The volume today, you know, just not that heavy. So it didn't get sold off too much. If I was looking at this stock, I'd obviously be thinking about the buy side, and I would be looking at getting out of it on breaks under 30. And again, they're investment advisors, so all the guys in the finance end are definitely in the fade mode here in the last month or two. And this Blackstone's no different. So if you're bullish on the banks, if you're bullish on investments, if you're bullish on the insurance companies and anyone in the financial sector, then obviously this is a neighborhood to start biting in. If you think that everyone is absolutely wrong on their predictions that the financial sector is going to do great in the years ahead because of higher interest rates and leveraged lending coming back and all kinds of activities with borrowing, then obviously this is a neighborhood to start getting in on this thing.
Okay. Blackstone, Mike Pisano.
I don't know. I don't have a lot of interest in this one here. It's it had a lot of call buying about a month ago, and that led to a nice move, but I haven't seen anything in it lately. Chart is just nothing special. I mean, it got extended. Look how far the 21-day was off the high when it came down. Ripped through today, reversed back up here, so not so bad. But just what's going on in this market right now, I mean, I do think that at some point they're going to rotate to the banks, right? You know, sentiment's getting just so bad in the banks, and this is kind of part of that group. But I've got to be honest, there's probably other names I'd rather play than come to this one here right now. I'd probably leave this one alone. If it came to the 200-day and it held the 200-day, I'd like to buy it off of there, which is right around 32 here. So that's, I think, what I would do.
The good news on this, you get paid 4% ballpark figure while you're watching the movie because it pays a yield.
There you go.
All right. I got a little different take than you guys. I'm looking at a longer-term thing. I'm looking clear back to 2015. And again, using a very simple Elliott wave approach here. You know, had this big drop. This is wave three. This is the big impulsive move down toward the end of 17. It had a correction pretty far up, but it was a correction, didn't break any of the rules. And now the continuation of that original downtrend is underway. Now, it did get up under the 200, so I wouldn't take it short just yet, but I would not go long this thing. I would wait for a break under the cloud, about 31. And if it does break that with some authority, not just a wick, you know, but some real authority, it's got a target down between 25 and 17, probably a support down here at the prior low, somewhere around 22. So that's a watch list short for me, not ready yet, but I wouldn't go long on this, not with this pattern. And it's not ready to go short yet, but it definitely is worth watching. And I'm short a couple financial stocks already. We're short Barclays, man. That thing, that was a super clear setup. So we're short Barclays, and it's just getting started. We got short at 1065. We're down here at 1038, and it's heading down. Same kind of similar pattern, but it's already broken under support. So I'm a little bit bearish, cautiously bearish on the financial sector, and BX looks like a potential candidate in the near future, maybe. Boeing. Formerly a Seattle company, Seattle thought they had a birthright to them, and Boeing moved to Chicago.
What about that stuff up by Whidbey Island? They still got that thing up by Whidbey Island, don't they?
They got assembly plants in Everett and all that stuff, but headquarters is in Chicago. Yeah, about 10 years ago. Yeah, it was a real slap in the face. Boeing thought, you know, Seattle thought, you know, again, a birthright. He would never leave, and they did.
I've always wondered how many planes accidentally land at Boeing Field when they're coming in on approach from the north to SeaTac.
Yeah, it's happened.
I know.
It's happened. Yeah, it's funny. Obviously, you know, big drop today, victim of, you know, at least the potential for trade wars. They're talking billions of dollars of potentially canceled orders if they got to pay a huge tariff on Boeing airplanes, and orders, of course, would go to Airbus. What do you think about it, Jim?
Well, you know, when it was up around that 375 a few months back, I was explaining to people that the 200-day average was way down near 300, and the likelihood of it coming down, you know, because of the overbought condition technically, was pretty good. And it did have a big drop. And so a lot of markets, you know, when we had that big run up in January, got very extended from its moving average. And basically what we've done is taken all the overbought conditions out of the market right now. And so there's not that many companies that, you know, are way overbought anymore. And, you know, Home Depot was another one that went down to its 171 area, which was the 200-day average, and then it bounced out of there very, very strongly. So this stock here, as far as the averages are concerned now, 309 is the 200-day, 346 is your 50-day. And I think part of the – obviously, they got bad news. You know, they get nervous when the China thing goes on. But also when we got back up there 375 or whatever, 370, and we're down at 309 on the 200-day, it's the same situation it was the last time I was up there. It's very extended off its 200-day, and basically it's coming down to kind of you know, cover that gap between the price and the 200-day. So it's going to work off some of its excessive right now. And again, it's a great company. It's an uptrend. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, loading the wagon up here above 350 right now until the summer's over, you know, I think this thing may do like a lot of markets, meander for in the next month or two during the summer doldrums. And then maybe in the fourth quarter, get back on the bicycle.
All right. Mike, what do you think? Fasten your seatbelt or deplane, man?
Well, I look at this chart. The first thing I see is every time we've come down to the 100-day moving average on the daily chart, we've basically held it, right? You can see here, one, two, this area in here, and we're right back on it now again. So for me, I'm looking at this thing saying, this is the first area I start looking at. Yeah, it's a little off the 200-day. Today was ugly. And I just keep on to point this out. Nothing's actually gone into effect. All these tariff talk back and forth, nothing has gone into effect. Nothing goes into effect until possibly July 6th. At some point, one has to hope these two guys sit down and talk to each other, because they're hurting their own countries. Both sides are hurting everybody. The Chinese stocks have taken a huge hit off of this at this point. So I'm a believer in Boeing. I will be looking for a reversal candle like this one here, where we trade below the previous one, reverse, and it gives me an entrance to go long. And now you have a nice juicy gap up here to start filling on the way back up, which makes it even nicer, because you get in this gap, you know it's going to fly through it. Not a lot of resistance here. And to put things in perspective, look at the weekly chart. On the weekly chart, this thing's done no damage. I know this last 2 weeks have been an ugly pullback, but honestly, we're not even back to the February lows. It hasn't even hit the 21-day. I like this name. I like the chart. Just need to get the tariff stuff to die down. That dies down, I think this thing takes back off. By the way, all the industrials have been hit. Look at the charts on Cat and Deer. They've been just absolutely destroyed as well. So no surprise Boeing's followed.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on the news here, right? It is a great company. And there's not really a trade setup for me. And even if there were, it's too news driven, right? We can't predict what the news is going to be, and it can just cause pretty wild swings. So for that reason, you know, there's just not a great setup here for me. I'm going to stay away from Boeing as for trading, you know, in terms of getting on an airplane. If it ain't Boeing, I ain't going. But no trade there for me. Next up here is EWZ, and I'm not sure what that is.
That's a Brazil.
Just say no.
You know, I was looking at EM, the emerging markets ETF.
Oh my God! In the last 2 days, I think that's had $20 million in puts bought on it.
Yeah. So I jump ahead. I'll be out of turn here, right? This was a great short opportunity, and it is over. You missed it. I think that's a perfect correction, by the way, but I'm out of turn. Jim, what do you think?
Well, I think it's the poster child of EM going down, because I think it's down 16% 16% for the year so far. Now, the fact that it's up today on this kind of negativity going around, I don't think is bearish. And I do see that it went into this 30 zone a couple of times here in late 16 and then in the middle or so of 17. So where are we at? We're at about 42 on the 200-day, and you're trading at 32 ballpark. And so, that's a pretty good discount to the 200-day. And so it's a little bit oversold down here. And, it might be something to start looking to see if there's any support down here. But obviously you're catching a falling knife. That's always dangerous, but you're also buying, a very, very large part of EM, and you're buying it at, a fairly good discount off of where it was earlier this year, where it was up, you know, in that, almost 50 area, and you're getting it for 30. And the US dollar is up in that 95, 96 resistance zone, and the euro is at around 115, 117. And there are some people who believe that that is the bottom area for the euro and the top for the dollar. And if that's in fact true, then maybe this stuff could get a little bit of a turnaround. Obviously speculative, obviously catching a falling knife, But I think the short train you've missed, and so now it might be time to see if there's a long train. And you're at 14% short interest on this thing. So if it did start turning, people that are hedge, people that are short, certainly. And we just heard there's 9 million puts out there being gone. So this doesn't seem like you're early on it, and it could be a situation where there could be some value down here around the 30 area.
All right. Looks like when the big monkeys start throwing poop around, the smaller fellows in the cage start getting hit, huh? What do you think, Mike?
I don't want to see any monkeys throwing poop. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to pass on that one. I'm going to say avoid this name. I agree with you. You can't short it, though. RSI has been oversold how many times on the way down, and it just keeps going. For me, this thing cannot break the 8-day, and on a couple times it's hit the 21-day, it's been sold off there as well. If you want to scalp it for a quick trade, sure, but I would just avoid this. There's just better things to play. This whole sector showing no signs of life. You look at a weekly chart, it's pulled back from this, series of higher highs. It's broken those down here. The series of higher lows has broken that. To me, on the EWZ, there's just nothing I really like. And then I look at the EEM, and the put buying on there today was just absolutely obscene and absurd. And this thing's getting crushed now, too. I just think these areas are tough. Play elsewhere. There's better places to play. Play in the United States stock market. Try to stay out of the overseas at this point.
All right. I was just checking the volume against the EEM. And this thing trades at Mondo volume, 35 million shares today. It's actually a perfect wave four formation. We had, Mike said, higher highs for a couple years. And now this correction is right into the Fibonacci retracement zone, but it's not ended. So way too late to go short. There was a perfect entry right as it broke to 200, around 41, and you could have took it down to 32. And that's about a 20% drop or something. That's pretty nice. That's where the play was. It's way too late to go short, and no signs of a long entry. So I would stand clear of that one as well. I'm in agreement there. Next up, Tesla. We could talk for the rest of the session about Tesla and about the interesting fellow named Elon Musk. I saw some articles
Saboteurs.
Today.
It was saboteurs.
Mm-hmm. I saw a headline today that some of the institutional investors, the analysts, are questioning his mental stability. But he either exists in a completely different plane that none of us comprehend, or this isn't real. He's obviously he's a smart guy, but he's out there. Tough chart, man. Really tough. What do you think, Jim?
Well, I think this guy is going to be similar to the people that were doing .com, where they were discussing eyeballs rather than actual revenues. And I think when and if this long, long bull market that we've been in does roll over, that this might be one of the poster children of the way people were dismissing the norms and saying, don't worry about valuation, don't worry about revenue, don't worry about profit, just get in. And of course, that happens when things are hot, and that's happened when people are making money in something. And that's two things that have been going on with this stock. Now, like I say, it seems to me that 280 to 300 area is the base on this thing. And the top seems to be the 375 area that we've hit, 375 to 390 area. So it's coming off the higher area. And, he's talking about 5,000 cars a week. And I think if that number is not met, that this thing would probably roll over and fill in the gap around 330, 340. And then, of course, even go down towards 315, which was the former high earlier this year. So, 315 might be an area that I would be willing to take a look at it. And then use that 280, 300 area as a get out point. But people, who are into this guy, they're going to buy this stock. They're not going to sell it. And so, it's a tough company to be negative on, because the believers are true believers. And they do believe that this guy is the guy, who really has got the future by the neck. But me personally, like I say, coming down to fill in the 330 gap is not off the table, and coming down to 315 where the former highs were not off the table, particularly if this 5,000 car a week target starts melting.
My favorite quote, you know, it's funny. I subscribe to articles from select companies from Seeking Alpha, and Tesla is one of them. It's just fun to read the various writers writing about Tesla. And there's obviously a bifurcated camp of the bears and the bulls. And mostly what they write about is each other rather than the company, right? It's either those fools drank the Kool-Aid or you know, they just don't get it. The bears just don't get it, right? This is the future, like you're saying, Jim. It's really interesting to follow along. And great quote a couple weeks ago from Steve Wozniak, you know, the Woz. So he owns a Tesla. He goes, I love the car, but I don't believe a single thing Elon Musk says anymore. I think he's a complete liar. That was interesting. But back to the chart. Mike, what do you think here about Tesla?
You know, this has got to be one of the toughest names to trade lately. Whenever this chart looks good, it falls apart. Whenever it looks bad, it gets its giddy up on. So what did we just have in the last week, 2 weeks, a hundred point short squeeze? That's really what happened. They squeezed the living crap out of the shorts that are in this thing. And now we're back up here. We're close to these highs.
30%, right? 30% of the float was short, right?
33, I think, coming into that. 33%. But it did something today that strong names do. It held the 8-day on the pull. So it's hard for me to look at this and get overly bearish. You look at the weekly chart, you can see it's getting its giddy up on here. It's right back into the area of the all-time highs again. Can it get there? I don't know. I think a lot rides on those numbers. I think the other thing that really rides for me, and I can't believe you didn't say, either one of you guys said this yet, is he's screaming from top to bottom he doesn't need no more money. But you look at his financials, and everybody's looking at this going, they're going to run out of money this year. He can't burn it fast enough. They're going to need more money, which means he's going to have to do another offering, which is going to play on the stock. So I think if you're a if you're a Tesla guy, you buy the Kool-Aid and you buy every dip in this thing you can get. But if you're just trading it, you don't buy it up here. You try it off the 8-day, and if it's weak there, you play it to the short side and fill that gap. And honestly, for me, it's so far off the 21-day right now, this 323 area. Jimmy, you said 315. I'm going to go a little higher than you, only because the 200-day and the 21-day are right there together. That's an area to me that gets my attention if we're going to short. I would try to short it down to that if this thing got really weak.
And I'm with you with your opening comments there, Mike. This is an incredibly difficult stock to trade, and that's because it doesn't follow the rules. And there's more emotion attached to this company than most. And I think that plays out on the chart here. And I like orderly markets that when they hit support levels, they bounce and go up, and you know, hit resistance levels, they bounce and go down, where there's some structure to them, and you know, you got an edge. This is chaos, man. This is really hard to trade, and it's because I think it's such an emotionally driven specific market. So I'm not really interested in trying to trade that where it's just so whippy. That's what the other dude, who was that? David, who was on last time with me here. I loved his term. I think it was Larry. That's his technical term. It's whippy, right? Just whips all over the place.
Yeah, I think it was Larry.
Well, even when, like, if you look back a month ago, those big red candles, you know, should have gotten downside follow through. Instead, we gap up the next day, and it never comes back and tests a low. If you're short, you're hating life.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't like it. So, what's this next thing? EDIT.
Biotech.
Biotech. Look at that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been on a run since the middle of last year when it was under 20 and got above 40, pulled back here to 30, and now it's right back at 39. When it went down to 30, that was the time to get it because that's where the 200-day moving average is, and the 50 days at 35. So you had the pullback here a little bit ago, and that was the time to take your shot on this thing. And now at this point, you know, like I say, you're not that far off for the highs. It's got great momentum. If you own it, you know, it looks like still a definite hold on to. And if you don't own it, maybe you'd get fortunate to get some bounce here and try to pick it up near the 50-day and use that $30 a share as your line in the sand. But it definitely looks like something's going on here, and it definitely looks like it's been able to, move higher. And outside of the pullback it had to 30, it just seems like it is trying to make a turn. But like I say, at this particular price around 40, I'd be a little hesitant to jump into that. And these stocks, they come on an announcement, it could blow through 40 and be at 50 before you know it. And the announcement goes the other way, you could be taking this thing down to 25. So, these things are live by the sword, die by the sword. So you really just have to hope that whatever they're doing continues and their approvals get through and all the rest of it, because obviously a couple of news reports one way or the other. But the bias here is definitely still to the upside overall. And 30 is the line in the sand.
All right. Yeah, I've never looked at this one before. Editas. That must be a clever Latin word or play on one. You know, the cooler you come up with when your name in biotech, right, the better you're going to do. You got a thought? You got thoughts on it, Mike?
I do. I mean, this is the weekly chart, right? And it's only been around for a couple of years. What a nice W on the weekly. Look at how this thing came down and made that nice bounce there, and what it looks like here. It looks really nice. On a daily chart, it looks like it wants to go. My one caution to you is if you're going to play this, you need to understand when drug data is coming out. And you need to be prepared if you're going to sit in it to either take the hit or loss, right? So, this thing looks like it wants to try to get back up to this 45. All biotech has been waking up this last week. And, maybe you catch this. But, if you catch an SRPT, right, and you love that 75-point pop today, right, on the news, which was a thing of beauty, right, from 100 to 175, you're happy. Or maybe you catch this. And, you look at Derm, and this thing on news went from 25 down all the way down to 7. So you need to just understand there's tremendous risk in these biotechs. These are great companies. They can give you huge wins. They can also give you massive losses. In fact, most of my losses this year have come in biotech. So just be warned.
Yeah, those are good comments. And, I only play biotech with options where I can really control my loss, right? Versus, you gap down on share or something like the one you're showing there. That can hurt. That can hurt a lot.
Nothing you can do about it.
Nothing you can do about it either, right? Editas, it's not my favorite setup. And it's also, I run into a lot of traders who use a fixed stop loss level. It's like 5% or, whatever. This is the kind of stock where you could be right about the uptrend. And if you're using a fixed percentage-based stop, you could get stopped out, lose money, and be right about the trend. Because the average true range on this thing is huge, right? 5% move intraday is nothing. Does it all the time. So it's a very volatile stock, and you have to build that into your trading plan. And I'm not going to take this thing away.
Couple pieces of news here for you guys. Oracle cuts their guidance, and GE coming out of the Dow, and Walgreens going in. That's a long time holder coming out of the Dow.
Wow. I thought Walgreens was already in.
Wow,
not surprised with GE, but wow.
Walgreens is kind of like Walmart for me. I admire their business model and what they're accomplishing business wise. I don't really want to go to their stores. It's lousy. I don't like being in there. Oh, that's just me.
Hey, they have too many customers and too little support help.
Hey, we're nearly through, and we've made really good progress on the list here. Let's pause and share, not off the list, but just what trades you really like right now. What are you looking at? What are you thinking about entry in or just got in that you would share with the folks tuning into the show here? And Jim, take us there.
Well, like I say, right now, I'm not too interested in too much right now, because I think we are going through the summer doldrums, and I think the market's going to meander back and forth. And I think that it might not be the worst idea to save some money. Wait for the later in the year, where I think the volatility and the opportunities may be a little bit better and clearer. If there was one thing, though, that I was seeing that I thought might be interested in the short term is that the 10-year note went up towards 310, then back to 300, then back to 297, and it looks like it's losing altitude. And I guess I had read that there was some traders or a group of traders that had made a fairly big bet that the yield may drop towards 260, 270 in the next couple of months. And so there could be a little bit of a lift for people who think that yields might drop a little bit. And again, just think of how many people are short the treasury market, how many people are like absolutely convinced that the rates are definitely going to go higher and this and that. So sometimes you look at a trade or a market and you go, which way would hurt the most people right now? And I think the whole world is set up for higher yields. And so in the short run here, if yields were to back off 10 or 20 basis points, you know, I think that would hurt a lot of people because they're short. So I would say right this second, looking for the 10-year treasury to lose some yield is not a bad short-term bet for the next month or so. And then the macro big bet would be in the fourth quarter. Saving money as we go into the end of the third quarter, and maybe see a pretty good size advance in the stock market after this period of back and forth. And we've got in September the budget and closing down the government possibly, and then of course you got the midterms coming up, and then you've got the China stuff. So there's so much news ahead of us. Continuing in a meandering phase here is probably not a bad bet, but I think it should be resolved to the upside as we get closer to the end of the year. So the answer to what's on the radar right this second, I would say that it looks like the yields at 3% can't hold, and it looks like those yields may back off a bit. That's one thing.
Okay. Mike, you got a trade that you're interested in, you'd want to share?
I am very cautious on the markets overall here, although I'm not like Jim. I'm not ready to concede that we're not doing anything till the fourth quarter here. Markets have a funny way of getting everybody to think nothing's going to happen, and they find their groove when nobody's paying attention. And I think this market's doing a good job of getting people to pay a lot less attention to what's going on right now. Too much of that sell in May and go away stuff comes out. That said, if I'm going to play, I've been looking for the banks, and the regional banks have been outperforming here. They have the most to gain by everything going on. Higher rates, less legislation on them with some of the repeals. So if you like those, you can play KRE, which is the regional bank ETF, or you can play this Key. Key's been one of my favorite names in that sector for a long time. It's been one of the best in breed to take a look at. And I'll give you one more. I had options on this. I cashed them out for a nice gain on FTC last week, and I bought some Common because they've been buying, and this is a Cooperman name. He's been buying this since down here in the 15s, and I've traded it back and forth from there. And I know you're saying, Mike, this thing's up huge. It can't possibly go. When you see the size of the bull risk reversal they bought on this thing for January 2020, selling the 20 puts to buy the 25 calls. You know, so I just grabbed about a quarter size position that I would normally grab in Common so I don't lose track of it, and just put it down there with the ability to add another 75% to it. It's not the best place to enter. I'll be the first person to admit, yeah, I'm green on it. I'm not green huge on it. But there's something going on this name that they keep coming for, and they're just exploding higher. So two thoughts there for you.
All right. Hey, thanks. Cool ideas. And, you know, you liked the Canopy chart. So the one I'm sharing here, you might like it as well. And it's YNDX, Yandex. And this is, it's a Russian, they call it the Google of Russia. It's an internet content and search chart company based in the Netherlands, but a Russian concern. And, you know, China trade wars with the U.S., I think Yandex could care less. What we got here is a sweet trend continuation. We got a nice impulsive move up, perfect correction. Now this thing's breaking up into a continuation of that original trend. We got nice higher highs, higher lows, higher highs, above the 200, growing momentum. The Fibonacci extension target takes us above 48. We got in here at 35.27, and it's just starting to take off. And we expect to be in this, you know, 6 weeks, something like that. So the play for me on this, the high return, low risk play on this, just go long the calls, high delta, deep in the money, you know, 100, 120 days out, let that thing run. And that's what we're doing. So that's a nice entry. Still got plenty of time to get into that. So Yandex, man, I like it. All right. I see you brought that chart up, Mike.
I did.
Yeah. No, I like it a lot. It meets all my criteria. All right. Hey, we only got about 5 minutes left. So let's use those. Any closing thoughts that any of the panelists have? If there's a link or a web page you wanted to point out for people, it'd be a good time to do that. So, Jim, go ahead and give your closing comments, if you would. Uh-oh. Might have had a lightning strike or something out in Nevada because we don't have Jim.
He smoked too much pot.
Yeah. And all right, we'll wait for him to come back. Yeah, totally blew out. All right, Mike, you're up. Closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts here. I really recommend you be very careful with your decisions right now. Protect your money. Market's very, very unsure what it wants to do here. To me, today would have been better if we got some more weakness instead of bouncing back up like we did. But, you know, we have to play the action we're given. And I don't like when they keep piling into the same names over and over again, and that list of names is shrinking. And, you know, whether it's, you know, Facebook or Google or Netflix or Amazon or IQ or DBX or Roku or Square or Twitter, when they keep playing those same names over and over again and nothing else and ignore the rest of the market, it's a warning sign that they don't like anything, but they're trying to play momentum. And you need to be extra careful. So we talk about this on a daily basis. So if you like what I say here and how I talk, sign up, smartoptiontrading.com, $25 for your first 30 days, $100 thereafter. You're going to spend more than $25 going out and having a couple beers. What do you have to lose from coming in and spending a month with me, getting all the option flow, what I look at, and how I do things and can learn something? Thanks for having me on, Dean. Really appreciate being here. You too as well, David.
Yeah, it was fun being with you, Mike, and I love the smart options concept because I see a lot of pretty questionable option strategies being promoted myself. So, hey, thanks. It was good to be here with you. I appreciate your input on the trades and your thoughts overall. And so I'm Dean Jenkins, founder of followmetrades.com, and here's my website, followmetrades.com. And and we run a stock advisory service. The Dow and the S&P today gave back all their gains, and so they are basically at zero for the year. And I got to update my chart here. We're up 3 or 4% for the year, so it's a little behind pace for previous years. But hey, we're beating the indexes, man, in a tough environment. And so to get to know me better, a great way to do that is to sign up for my free newsletter, Beyond the Noise. It comes out every week where I give my analysis on the overall market and, you know, key price levels and all that kind of stuff. But really fun to be here. I appreciate it. And David, I'll turn it back over to you for your wrap up.
And Jim, are you back? Jim, are you there? Okay, looks like he logged back in, but still no audio. So I'll just, for his closing statement, he usually mentions that you can go to optionprofessor.com to find out more about the DVD course that they have set up, or you can get in touch with him by emailing optionprofessor@gmail.com. So, all right. So great show. Thanks, guys. Also, a quick announcement. If you haven't seen it yet, you can now subscribe to all of the Timing Research shows in podcast audio only form through iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. You can also go to the timingresearch.com/podcasts page to get links to where you can find all of those. So if you do not have time to watch the video of any of the shows 1 week, you can listen to the audio at least. Also, be sure to hit the subscribe button on YouTube if you haven't yet to get updates on future shows through. And be sure to join us for both shows next week. Crowd Forecast News will be June 25th, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday. And the next episode of this show, Analyze Your Trade, will be June 26th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Some of the people I have on the schedule for next week are Jim Kenny again, Glenn Thompson, Lancey Bolito, Michael Filigera, and Matt Buckley. And just want to thank my guests again for this week, Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com, Mike Bassani of AlphaShark.com and SmartOptionTrading.com, and Dean Jenkins of FollowMeTrades.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.